Hi, good morning, everybody. We're going to be continuing in the book of Samuel, and today we'll be reading from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. And I'll read that for us. Full disclosure, we did briefly cover these verses in yesterday's devotional, but I'm going to reiterate some points for us and talk through it a little bit more, just in case any of you were a little confused. So anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan his son. And he said it should be taught to the people of Judah. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant you have been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." So at this point in the book of Samuel, we see Saul at the conclusion of his downfall as the king. He and his army are battling it out with the Philistines, and with the Lord's favor having departed from him due to his pride and his arrogance, Saul faces a terrible defeat. It's a tragic scene, and we see even Jonathan, one of the most faithful men we've seen in Saul's camp and a great warrior in his own right, falling to the Philistines' attack. But actually, Saul doesn't go out in battle. He's so overcome with fear at seeing his army being torn apart that he orders his armor bearer to thrust him through with his sword. And when the armor bearer refuses to do so, Saul falls on his own sword and ends his own life. It's such a visceral display of hopelessness, and it shows how little he trusted in the Lord at this point in his life. And what we read in today's passage is David's response to hearing of Saul's death. Now, it's interesting. You'd think that David would be exultant, if not at least relieved, at hearing that the man that opposed him and stood in between him and his rightful place as king of Israel was finally dead. But no, David laments for Saul. And of course, he also laments for his dear friend, Jonathan. I think we can learn two things from David's response today. First, we see just how much David feared the Lord, and how much David put the Lord's word at the very forefront of his life. Rather than see Saul as opposition or a hated enemy, David saw him as the Lord's anointed. Even as David was aware that he would take the throne of Israel and that God had blessed him, he held so much reverence for God's placement of Saul on the throne that he was unwilling to take up arms against him or rejoice over his death. He even calls Saul the glory of Israel in verse 19. We see this also earlier in the book of Samuel, where David has an opportunity to ambush Saul and slay him, but David, again, out of a fear of the Lord and a reverence for his anointed, he simply cuts the corner of Saul's robe to show that he spared him. It's clear that in David's life, God is the one that determines how he thinks, how he acts. And it's clear that God's will is so clearly superior to his own. Even when it's basically spelled out that David would increase greatly as a result of Saul's death, that he would finally take his position that God wants him to take, David laments for Saul and Jonathan. I hope today we could be reminded that we should have the same fear of God, to place his commands at the forefront of our lives, and to follow him to the utmost. Maybe an area of your life comes to mind as we reflect on this. You know, some part of your plans or interests or friendships that you know isn't honoring to the Lord. Let's take some time to submit these things to him today and take the steps necessary to adjust our lives, to live in fear of the Lord, and to put his ways above ours. But not only does David kind of just genuflect and defer his will to God's will out of obligation, but we see through his lament and through his words that the death of Saul and Jonathan was something that actually emotionally grieved him. It wasn't simply a show of respect that brought David to mourn for the former king and for the former prince, but David was truly grieving. In verses 23 and 24, David says, "Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely. In life and death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Your daughters of Israel weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel." You see, David didn't just go through the motions of putting God's plan above his. David was so committed to the Lord that he loved as God loved, and he grieved as God grieved. It's such a powerful scene, David weeping and mourning over the deaths of his opposition, because it's to that degree that David followed after the Lord, that he would treasure God's anointed and love Saul simply because God loved Saul and set him as king. David is referred to as a man after God's own heart throughout scripture, and I think we really see that here. He doesn't just follow the Lord's commands, but he follows his heart. He doesn't just feel obligated to do the things that the Lord tells him to do. No, David makes the Lord's will, the Lord's joy, his joy, and the Lord's sorrow, his sorrow. David shows such love and reverence to the Lord, and he would chase after the Lord's heart. I don't know where you are in this endeavor, but let's seek to understand the heart of our Father, and not just to follow the rules that he gives us, but to love as he loves, and seek to see the world, see other people as he sees them. Now let's look at our friends, our coworkers, the people that hurt us, the strangers that we cross paths with, all as God's creation and people that are God's beloved. And let's respond with our own love, with our own commitment to them. Let's just take some time to pray over these things. Lord, we declare that you are King over our lives. Lord, help us to trust in your plan and to trust your ways. Lord, it can be so tempting for us to just see life through our own lens, to believe that the things that we believe are right are absolutely right, the things that we believe are wrong are absolutely wrong. But Lord, would you give us the humility, would you give us the perspective to lay down those feelings and those inclinations, and instead to deflect to you, to just look at what you tell us to do, and the things that you say are good, and the things that you say are not good. Lord, would you help us to love as you love, to grieve after the things that you grieve, to rejoice for the things that you rejoice. Lord, would you just show us how to be more like you? Would you model us and mold us? God, would your spirit continue to work in us? We pray all this in your name. Amen.